Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and we're going to talk grilling to start the show today. And who better to talk about grilling than our grilling gurus, Mad Dog and Merrill. They always have great tips for getting the most out of your grilling experience. And likely, whatever you've eaten, they probably tried to cook it outside on grill at one point or another. It's great to have them with us. You have questions for them, or maybe you've got some tips to share of your own, or maybe just questions about grilling or what to grill or how to do it. Call us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email talk at WPR.org or post a question or grilling photo on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page titled The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Merrill, are you there?
I am there, sir. Top of the morning.
Top of the morning to you. And Mad Dog, I bet you're there too.
Top of the hour to you, Larry.
Well, are you guys, man, this time of the year, you guys are pretty busy all the time, but I would imagine this time of the year is really busy time for you guys.
Well, you know, I mean, we've got plenty of things to do. Obviously, we do plenty of catering. You know, the television show, Midwest Grilling, we're taping the two episodes this week on it. So that keeps us going, constantly doing something all the time.
Midwest Grilling, go ahead.
I was going to say, and three episodes next week. So we got five episodes, half-hour shows to shoot in the next 10 days. We're excited.
Holy, how do you do that? That's a lot of shooting in just a short period of time. Tell us about Midwest Grilling, the TV show.
You know, Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grilling, we've been doing this. This is actually the fifth season now. It's a half-hour grilling shows in the Madison area. It actually airs three, four times on the CW network during the week. We air in all Milwaukee, Green Bay, the Eau Claire market, way over in Minneapolis, and you folks down in Chicagoland TV. So we buy the airtime, produce the shows, and we just have a good time. Any day I can make fun of Merrill on TV is a good day, Larry.
So in Madison, it's every day, see?
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, man. Well, listen, I mentioned sort of in my introduction, Cedar Plank Grilling, and you guys always find creative ways to do Cedar Plank Grilling, and not only salmon, is it, or is it always salmon?
You know something, Larry, we've been experimenting. In fact, I'm writing a list of things to do for the show in the next few weeks, and we just got through doing, I'm going to repeat it because it was on a local station here. You know, you can go to the great farmers markets that exist around, and you can find some great grass-fed beef. Now, grass-fed beef is lean. It needs a little flavor to it, in my opinion. I like to add a lot of flavor to it and slow cook it. So I'll actually take cedar planks and soak them in water. I'll take that beautiful grass-fed ribeye steak, and I'll go to the market, and I'll buy chai tea. When you buy it by the ounce,
yeah,
the good stuff, chai tea, and I make a chai tea rub. I'm using maple sugar. You can use brown sugar, but chai tea rub equal parts, maple sugar equal parts, and your favorite herbs or spices blended together. And those three things blended together, you season the grass-fed beef, sear the dickens out of both sides till it's nice and just a nice golden darkness to it. And while it's still rare, you put it on the cedar planks, put that cedar plank, which had been soaked in water for about 8 hours, so it's nice and moist, over the fire, over the high heat, put the hood down. In about 20 minutes or so, it's a nice medium rare. And then 30 minutes, it gets to be medium. And from there, it cooks relatively fast, so you got to be careful. But about 20 to 30 minutes, and honest to God, the flavor that comes off that steak is phenomenal.
Oh, that sounds really, really good.
I mention the mummified shrimp I did, too? Take shrimp. Take large shrimp, peeled and raw. That is delicious. You take a triple smoked bacon, and you take a nice large shrimp, and then you mummify the shrimp in the bacon, skewer both ends with a toothpick, and you place those on a wet plank, put those on the grill, and in about 30 minutes, honest to goodness, the crispiness of the bacon, but the tenderness of the shrimp on the inside is phenomenal.
Oh, man, are you making me hungry?
You know, people like smoked cheese. You just take regular string cheese, and put that on a wet cedar plank, let that go for about 20 minutes. You've got your smoked cheese, too.
Ah! Another one I didn't think of.
No, it's fantastic.
Mad Dog and Merrill, our guests today. If you want to join in with your own questions or comments or maybe grilling experiences to share, call us at 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Again, you can post on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show. Post a question or a photo there. We'd certainly love to hear from you. So, shrimp and steak, I can see that on the cedar planks for sure. And I've got a nice cedar plank at home, too, that I have yet to use.
You know, cedar planks, real quick here before we maybe pass on the cedar planks and move to something else, I actually go to a depot stores that sell all kinds of lumber, and I make sure that I ask, and I ask for the cedar fencing. And you can buy a 6 or 7 foot piece of cedar fencing that you would make a large cedar fence with, untreated lumber. It's got to be untreated cedar. Honest to goodness, Larry, they're $2 for a 6 to 7 foot piece.
Yeah.
And you cut your own section. And honest to goodness, I got three out in the garage because we're going to be using them. And I feel guilty because I buy three boards and it's like $6.80.
Yeah. And if you just go to buy one that's sort of specified that it's for grilling, it's going to cost you more than that for just 1 foot long, foot and a half.
Exactly. And oak or maple untreated, you know, it's more expensive, but you can experiment with those too.
Yeah. Well, what about, before we take some calls, and Ben, we'll get to you in just a minute here, but how do we add more flavor to our grilling cuisines? I know you guys are big on finishing sauces, and talk about them a little bit.
Well, you know, finishing sauces, a lot of people don't realize that. You've got so many different choices to use for in finishing sauces, and that's what really adds the flavor after you're done cooking, whether it be steak, ribs, and even for fish. But a lot of people like a good wine sauce, probably to use some butter in a white wine, some garlic, and maybe little chives in there or shallots. You know, heat that up and pour that over the fish. But it's basically what they call a finishing sauce, which will add a little bit more flavor to your meat or your vegetables.
We're going to be doing drumsticks, beautiful chicken drumsticks. I'm going to brown them up on the grill with a little bit of seasoning. Then I take a large bowl and I put the hot item, you know, sriracha, a little sriracha sauce in the bowl. And I simply toss the drumsticks in at the end when they're good and hot and done, and then serve them on a platter, and that's another finishing sauce. They're just amazing.
Oh, that sounds wonderful too. And I've got a little sriracha in my refrigerator, as a matter of fact.
And drumsticks.
And I've got some drumsticks in the freezer.
There you go.
There I go. Let's go to Ben and Appleton.
And you've got a grill too, right?
I've got more grill. I've got three people come to my house and they say, "What do you do with all those grills?" Because I've got two large Webers that are charcoal, and then I've got the Cadillac of all the gas grill from Weber, which I think I've said in the past I spent more for on than I did in my first car, I think. But I don't think it's ever going to, I mean, it's the last one I'll ever have to buy. I'm pretty sure of that.
Sure.
Anyway, Ben in Appleton has a question.
Hey, guys. Hey, Larry. Great show as always. I had a question. I wanted to experiment. I bought some grass-fed beef from my neighbor, and I have a brisket. And I have like a Weber 2-burner. I think maybe it's an Elite 2 or something like that. And I wondered if I was able to smoke that brisket on it, like with just one burner and down low and put some chips in one of those burner things. Wonder what your recommendations are there, and I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for calling, Ben. So we got a brisket.
Oh, we got a brisket doing on a gas grill. You know, there's a lot of different times, too, even for on briskets. A lot of people will, you know, obviously smoke those briskets where they'll figure about an hour and a half to a pound. You can actually do a brisket normally as you would a regular beef roast, if you'd like to, where you're looking at cooking that around 15, 20 minutes a pound. But go ahead and put your favorite rub on there. And if you've got a 2-burner system on a gas grill, what you want to do is definitely go on a lower heat on there. And if you can, go ahead and place the rub on there, place it on the grill, and cook that about maybe 16 minutes a pound if you'd like. You could go ahead and use wood chips. placing them in a metal container, if you like, and place those on the grill. You want to wrap up wood chips in aluminum foil and place those on the top. You might want to soak them first so you get some smoke on there. But it will work, but you don't have to slow cook it as you normally would a brisket.
Hmm. There we go. Thanks a lot for that question. And Timothy in La Crosse, it's your turn next. Hi, Tim.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Timothy.
Hey, I belong to a mentoring group called CAMEL. And CAMEL stands for Kids and Mentors Outdoors. And we do almost anything, try to get kids outdoors. We have an event coming up where we're going to, in the past, we've taken kids to like a game farm for pheasant hunting and mm-hmm. so on. And, you know, get a number of birds and so on. We spend over $200 to take these kids to get spendy. We're going to try something new. We're going to get barn pigeons and these electronic launchers for training dogs mm-hmm. and take the kids out. First, we're going to talk about safety and that kind of stuff, and then we're going to talk about shooting clay birds, and then we're going to do actually the live birds with the pointing dog.
Mm-hmm.
That's the, you know, we want to feed or do clean the doves.
Mm-hmm.
Rock doves or pigeons that everybody else knows. And I want to know, do they have any idea how I can do that on a grill that might be tasty for the kids?
Well, for the kids, you know, on the grill is good. They're going to be, when they're done, they're done. And they're going to be, you might want to, if you want to do them on the grill, you want to do them indirect. Strips of bacon over the top might be just a lovely thing. And kids love bacon, and it kind of disguises the fact that they're little pigeons. or you might just want to put them in Nesco's with cream of mushroom or cream of chicken soup and slow cook the darn things and give them some good old-fashioned bread and butter and serve them up. But they're good. But, you know, they're like any duck or any pheasant, they got to be treated with tender, loving care when they're on the grill.
And you're probably going to wind up with just the breasts of those. So I doubt that you'd be using anything other than the breasts. So, and that would be on the grill or, well, anywhere. That's going to be a real quick cooking,
yeah,
isn't it?
Boil them and sear them up and eat them real quick.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate the call.
And then call out to McDonald's.
Oh man, you can join.
I'm gonna still be hungry.
You can join in too. The number to call 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Cheyenne Lentz, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We should mention to you, coming up at 11:45, we're going to be talking with the editor of Our Wisconsin magazine about places to go and things to do here in the state of Wisconsin. Right now, though, we're dealing with grilling with our grilling buddies, Mad Dog and Merrill, a nationally recognized grillologist. They're hosts of the TV show Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin'. They've written several cookbooks, and the latest is Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin' Cookbook. Join in with your own questions or comments, or maybe you've got an experience, a grilling experience to share. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. And we had a caller question from Dale. Are you able to use the same cedar plank each time you grill on it, or do you need to get a new one every time?
You know, that's why I try to be as economical as possible and go to some of the depot stores, the wood stores, and get them so reasonably priced. Because the times I did buy them and I read the directions from a grill store, it says after each use, quickly rinse off, wrap in saran wrap, and freeze before bacteria grows. Anytime I hear the word bacteria, throw the darn thing away.
Okay.
And if you do it properly, there's a good high heat underneath that cedar or that maple or that oak board, and it chars the dickens out of the bottom to begin with. So it's a one-time use. That's why I try to be as economical as possible.
Got an email from Paul in Madison who says, I've never done plank salmon on the grill, and my wife wants me to grill salmon on a red wine cedar plank.
Yeah.
Please talk about this. Do I bank the coals? Do I turn the salmon?
Yep. So salmon on the grill, that salmon is the most forgiving. It's got so many rich omegas in there, so you can overcook it a little bit, and it just even tastes sometimes better. But nice, rich salmon on the grill. I like to take the skin off the salmon when you're planking because the skin gets soft when it reaches that wet plank. Kind of makes sense. We oil the salmon, we season the salmon. Unless it's Copper River from Alaska at 20-some bucks a pound, I usually put brown sugar over the top. Now, she's got a great idea, and I'm going to try bourbon planks, where I mix a little bit, like a half a cup of bourbon with the water. But they want to do wine, so it's about a cup of nice wine with the water when you soak the planks. But the same principle applies. You soak those planks in the wine and water. I do it for at least 8 hours. I want a nice cool smoke, not a harsh smoke if that wood dries out. Season the salmon, start your grill up, and it sounds like they have a charcoal grill. It's always like one layer of charcoal or the gas grill on a medium-high heat. You want direct cooking underneath that plank to char the dickens out of the board. Fire up the grill, get it going, take the plank out of the water, place the salmon that's been seasoned on that wet plank, place that board on top of the hot grill, put the hood down. Salmon directly on the grates of the grill takes 15 minutes or so. You double the time to 30 minutes.
I'm done.
So you double the time. It's 15 minutes directly on the grates of the grill. When it's firm to the touch and the juices bead white to the top, that's when salmon's done. On that plank, they're not going to bead as fast because they're not pushing as hard underneath because the wood's protecting it. But 30 minutes, salmon is firm to the touch. There's a beautiful glaze over the top of it. Absolutely delicious.
And you don't turn it?
No, you don't need to turn it. In fact, you don't need to turn it, so I'm not even going to tell you to turn it. There's no reason to mess. Every time you lift that foot up, the wood has a tendency to hit the air and catch a little flame or edge or two on the side and get a harsher smoke. So I'm just going to tell you to leave the darn thing alone, Larry. Just leave it alone.
I agree. I tried to turn it once. What an idiot I was.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't the first time, Larry.
No, it wasn't the first time I was an idiot. You're right about that.
No, exactly. And it won't be the last.
You'll never do it again, either, will you?
No.
Yeah. I mean, hell, you keep having us on.
Well, we keep having fun when you're on, so I've got to keep doing it.
You know, real quick on cedar plank, and I apologize, but just a nice 2-inch fresh tuna steak. Ahi tuna. Take tuna steak, just a nice, beautiful 8-ounce, 6-ounce piece of tuna. Oil it, season it. Sear the dickens out of both sides real fast. Put it on a cedar plank. Put that plank on the grill the same as you would that nice ribeye we were talking about. And the flavor is phenomenal. Hamburgers you can do directly on there. I'll take sauerkraut, drain it, add a whole bunch of brown sugar to the sauerkraut, and I'll take that wet plank out of the water. I'll put a half a pound of sauerkraut on top of the plank. I'll put a ring of kielbasa over the top of that sauerkraut, and add the other half a pound of sauerkraut on top of the kielbasa. Mm. Put that on the grill and cook it for a half hour. And you got yourself a meal that you've done went to heaven for. It's phenomenal.
I love it.
They're great.
An email comment from John who says, as a simple marinade for steak, I like to place it in the container, sprinkle with Kikkoman soy sauce, and then add the small leaves of fresh rosemary. This is several hours before grilling. It's naturally salted by the sauce and the soy enhanced beef flavor. Wild rosemary gives an herbal flair.
It's a good one. He's right. I definitely love using rosemary. I love rosemary, especially if you're going to be doing prime rib. I don't like doing a rub with fresh rosemary on it, too. But to me, rosemary and a marinade like that really brings out the beefy flavor.
Just be careful of the sodium content of the soy. That's my only statement.
Yeah, well, you can get the low sodium.
Yep, thank you.
That's what I always use anyway. Have you guys ever done a pie? Have you ever grilled a pie?
Yeah, it's very simple. I mean, you're definitely, if you're doing the indirect method of cooking, you know, anything that you cook in your oven, you could do on the grill. So that you have no problem at all doing a pie whatsoever on the grill, of doing it the indirect method of grilling. You might, if you got a 2-burner system, you've got one side of the burner shut off, you might want to turn that pie once in a while, so you get at least an even heat on it.
Oh, so like, and you'd cook it about the same amount of, or bake it about the same amount of time?
Correct.
Yeah, you gotta preheat it and everything else. You know, that brings us to a whole nother hour of talking about the Komodo style grill, those ceramic eggs,
yes,
the green eggs, such. You know, that's another whole hour of talking here, but it's they have a plate that you put inside the grill. You fire up the natural lump charcoal underneath. They have a diverter plate that gives a convection oven effect that people post. In fact, you go under Egghead or something like that, and for green eggs, and people post all their beautiful pictures of meatloafs and pies and cookies and briskets and racks of ribs. You could spend 5 days looking on the internet at people who posted pictures of everything they do on those Komodo style cooking.
You know, I think I have, yeah, everybody I know who owns one, it just raves about it. And I think sometimes it costs they cost so much that you have to feel like you have to rave about it. But I've never used one, so I can't. And I frankly have never eaten anything from one. But I imagine
you guys have. Yeah, you know, for $1,200, and it sounds like a lot, but for $1,200, you got a grill that you'll be passing down to your kids. If there's a lifetime guarantee on it, and you know, that's for the large with a they call it a nest. That's the eggs on, that's the legs on it. So it's a green egg. It's got a nest. For about $1,200, you got yourself a unit that you can do anything and everything on, and it really does have a lifetime guarantee. Depending on which one you buy,
you can smoke on those things at 185 degrees or 225 degrees. Up to 24 hours, really, with one batch of charcoal on there. And you could go ahead and do your steak if you want to at 750 degrees.
Wow.
Or if you want to do a really good style pizza, homemade pizza, you know, at a high heat. I mean, the grill is just absolutely flawless. Believe
you can kiln pottery in it. You can. That's how high you can get it.
Oh yeah. My God. Well, I see them all the time, and I walk by them, and I look at the price, and then I think about all the grills I've already got at home.
Yeah.
Do I need another one? Well, probably not, but it would be fun to fool around with them.
But yeah, people should take a look at it if they're in the market for a new grill. They are nice, and you know, you can spend $3,000-$4,000 on a gas grill in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, I know all about that.
Yes, you do. Exactly. Yeah.
Man, oh, man.
As we explained before, you've never done anything foolish, so it must be worth it.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, man. What are some good items to throw on the grill for, let's just say, a fun and easy summer meal? Just give me a summer meal. It's easy to do and kind of fun.
Well, you know what I'm going to do, which is sort of fun, and it's really not really on grilling in a way that you can do, but we'll be doing it in a couple weeks. It's obvious I'm going to be doing on the green egg. I'm going to be smoking a pork roast to do pulled pork. But, you know, I like the old-fashioned sort of shrimp boil where you go ahead and get the water boiling, and you go ahead and use some fresh sweet corn, chop that up, let that go for about 10 minutes, add some red skin potatoes in there, and then some kielbasa, and then a couple pounds of shrimp, you know, some fresh lemon, and let that boil for a little bit. And then you go ahead and drain that, and you just throw it out on the table, and life is good.
Oh.
You can feed a whole army of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me a ring of kielbasa. Take a ring of kielbasa, get a good sharp knife, and cut a 3/4 of the way through, all the way around that ring, so we have a little pocket in that kielbasa. Take some sauerkraut and shove it in that little crevice that you just created. Toss it on the grill for about 12 minutes and eat. That's it. Kraut and kielbasa. That's my lifestyle.
Life is good.
Yep, life is good.
Oh, man. What, you know, I've got to ask you about this. Somebody asked me the other day about this, and I, frankly, when it comes to cooking hamburgers, and I always do this, and it seems to work. But when I'm grilling hamburgers, I usually stick my thumb in there and you know, make a cave in the middle of the hamburger, and that prevents it from shrinking.
Sure.
And I don't understand why that's the case. Somebody said, why is that the case? And I said, I have no idea.
That's funny. I know people have done that too, and I've heard of it. And you know what? The only thing I can think about is that when you take it off the grill and you put it on that bun is you take like what is it? Merck's or something? Cheese spread. Take a big tablespoon of cheese spread and you put it right inside that little thumbprint of yours and let it melt and put it on a bun and eat it. That's what I think of.
Yeah. And, you know, on that hamburger, too, then I would take a hash brown, like the Mrs. D. hash brown, and brown that up on each side and put the Merck's cheese on that, then a hamburger, and then a bun and eat that, too.
Do you put an onion on, too?
Yeah.
Sure. And some bacon. And some cooked
on there.
Bacon.
Even bacon. Even a tomato would be good.
You know, there was... Oh, a tomato. Yeah, well, pretty soon you can't get your mouth around it.
I know.
Oh, well, listen, Claire had a comment. She said from an email, she marinates salmon with a quarter cup of soy sauce and a cup of maple syrup for 2 days.
Oh.
Man, grill people will eat it like candy. But a marinated salmon for 2 days. Well, it's maple syrup and quarter cup of soy sauce and a cup of maple syrup.
Yeah. Yeah, good for her.
I mean, it'll work, but, you know, I won't even get into a debate, but you don't have to marinate it that long, but I'm sure it's good.
Yeah.
If she's brining it to smoke it, it wouldn't be so bad, and I can see where it would be. She don't God dang it all. God love her. That sounds good to me, too, then.
Yeah, it does. It does. She knows what she's doing.
You know, I wonder how Claire came up with that. I bet she put that marinade on, and then she forgot she had it in the refrigerator for a couple days. And she said, oh, no, maybe I'll just try it, and it worked.
Yeah, that's how
you should have seen the Hassan stuffer I did the first time, and I forgot about it for an extra day and a half, 2 days, let alone for the day and a half or 2 days I was supposed to do it.
Oh.
There was a pungent flavor.
My brother once made Hassan Pfeffer, and it didn't turn out. And he gave some to the dog, Tarzan. And Tarzan, who would eat anything, including leather gloves, and took one smell of that and refused to bite.
Yeah. We almost did the same thing, Larry. Hey, you know what I'm doing this week? Can I just say, I'm taking a the frozen French bread pizzas that have like cheese on it.
Yeah.
So frozen French bread pizzas with cheese on it, and I'm cooking those on the grill. And right now, in fact, in the kettle, we're going to do it this weekend. I'm doing pulled pork, like Merrill mentioned. So I'm slow cooking a small pork roast. I'm taking that French bread cheese pizza, and we're making some homemade coleslaw on television. We're taking the pulled pork, warming it up, taking that cold coleslaw, we're heating up on the grill indirect that French bread cheese pizza, and I'm doing open-faced pulled pork sandwiches with it.
Oh, man, that sounds good.
Boy, like
doesn't it, though? It's never been done before, so you got to watch Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grilling in about a month and a half to see the darn thing. But it's got to turn out. It's got to work. It's got to be delicious.
And you guys don't have any fun at all on your show. I've watched your show.
You have no fun.
Serious. I did the old gag the other day where I had Merrill put on a pair of binoculars, and I put the black circle around the outside with charcoal. I took charcoal and put it, honest to God, and I had him look over there and see what that was when we were on the air. When he turned around, he's got these black circles on his eyes, blacker than what's already there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Maddie, are you guys? Well, you guys are still doing a lot of events too. Do you? Are you not?
Oh yes, definitely. Matter of fact, this weekend we're going to be Friday. Tomorrow we're at the Iola Car Show, and then Saturday, which is great. It's the Golden Barbecue event in Green Bay at Lambeau Field, and they have over 80 contestants for a barbecue grill-off competition. So we're going to be there. But, if they check on our website, maddogandmerrill.com, we're all over the place.
I think I first met you guys at State Fair.
Yep, that's right.
And you were doing a lot of cooking down there.
Yeah, and you were selling knives, Larry.
Oh, no, if I'd sold knives, I would have cut myself, you know?
Yeah. Well, that was a long time ago, too. Yeah, that's right.
No.
That's right. That's right. It was Sammy's.
Oh,
God.
Well, listen, you know what, what else I was thinking about today, and this, of course, I can't afford to do this. I was, when I was in, I spent a year in the West Indies, and working in Antigua and Trinidad and Montserrat, and we'd have these meetings, especially in Antigua, and you got lobster for everything. Oh, God, oh, we got lobster sandwiches again? And we'd have lobster, when I was thinking about you guys today, I was thinking about those lobsters that they used to do in the evenings on kind of the open fire. It was sort of like a grill, but they'd have the wood fire, and the fire would, you know, burn way down, and then they'd have those coals, and then they'd do these huge lobsters, and they were wonderful.
They are nothing but a large shellfish, that's for sure. And if you enjoy shrimp, and if you do lobster properly, I like to butterfly the tail so it splits open but still connected at the end of the tail, and just get a nice butter garlic sauce ready, and kind of just put the lobster on the grill shell side down until it turns a nice color and firms up. And then I'll baste the butter on top and just flip it over just to sear the flesh of the meat to sear the lobster meat just for a minute or so, and that's a great way to do it. And my dad and I were in Trinidad and Tobago and all those islands for 14 days, and for it to be there just that long was great enough. But for you, for a year, the food is wonderful.
Oh, the food is just absolutely wonderful there, and every island has kind of its own cuisine a little bit. And man, I'm salivating now just thinking about it. That's for sure.
Those charred sweet potato type style yikimas or whatever they were, that they charred them on the side of the street, and you didn't know what the heck they looked like while you were eating them, but they tasted good once you got the char off of them.
And shark and bake, or bacon shark.
Exactly.
Shark sandwiches. Oh my goodness me. Those were wonderful and a great memory for sure. And I get back. I haven't been back there in a while now, but now the more I think about this, the more I think I need to get back there. And by the way, Claire, who talked about the plank salmon on the grill, where she marinated it for 2 days with soy sauce, she called back again and she said, well, one day can work, but 2 days is better. Yeah. Even people who don't like salmon love this.
Yep, and she does it on the plank. Well, good for her.
Yeah.
So we've got, it's a quarter cup of soy sauce and a cup of maple syrup for 2 days, and then grill it.
Sounds delicious. Yep.
Well, what have you got for me? Whoa, I've got one other one that I really wanted to ask you about, because somebody said they were grilling watermelon. And I said, I never grilled watermelon. And he said, well, you get a very intense kind of flavor. Have you guys ever done watermelon?
We've done
I marinated in soy sauce and maple syrup for 2 days. No.
You know, that might work, though.
That might work. Honest to goodness.
I've done the, I think we even did it for television. I've done the grilled watermelon.
Yes, we have.
I think it's one of those things, again, it's just a novelty type of item. You know, it's like, okay, I can't believe that we're grilling watermelon. And some people that like it, you know, they love it. It's the same thing of doing really the grilled lettuce, too, you know. I've done it. It's like, it's all right, but people that do it just swear by it that it's just the best thing on earth. And it's like, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I did some quesadillas last night. I had some chicken and cheese quesadillas, and man, were they good.
Flour tortilla shells?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great thing that people don't realize of, you know, cleaning out the old refrigerator and just getting the flour tortilla shell or making your own quesadilla, but. You know, there's just something like doing that, you know, on the grill, to be honest with you.
And I had some shells in there that had been in there a long time in the refrigerator. I go, where did these come from? Guess we better make some quesadillas quick.
Put a little cream cheese on one half the shell and chocolate chips over the cream cheese, fold it over, and just do a dessert quesadilla. God, they're good.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
You take that salmon that she did, and with the cream cheese and some capers in there, and do that too.
Yeah, with onions.
Lots of onions. Oh yeah.
Yeah, and that tomato. And the tomato we were talking about.
Oh yeah, tomato. Yeah, you do. Well, you use tomatoes. You grill with tomatoes.
Oh, you know, we do stuffed grilled tomatoes all the time, and you can do the. I love doing the green tomatoes. You know, just like the green fried tomatoes, they're just delicious. Olive oil and seasoning, and then bone them on both sides. You know, it's almost like a mock eggplant when you're done. It's, you know, it's not too awfully bad to serve as a side dish for something.
Well, this has been, as always, a lot of fun. Now, what's your latest book? What the heck's the title of your last book?
Midwest Grilling.
Midwest Grilling, that's right. And, of course, all that is all the cookbooks and everything, and your rubs and all that are right up on your Facebook page, or on your website, I should say. Huh?
That's right. And I might add that we do have 3 lovely barbecue sauces in the grocery stores, and also 3 nice spices in our specialty sauce called Del Works, which is a homemade ketchup with Bear Creek sauerkraut, onions, and a little horseradish mustard. Del Works, and it's wonderful on brats, hot dogs, ring bologna, kibbutz, and hamburgers. But they're all, it's our 2 little caricatures on all the bottles, so you can't miss it. It says Mad Dog and Merrill. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and there's Grandma's
Hazel.
Grandma Hazel.
I've used that many a time. I really enjoy it. That is really good.
Yeah, she's ground up in Oak Creek down by Milwaukee. All her stuff is made in Wisconsin, but that's garlic, peppers, onion, fennel, celery, red pepper, green pepper, onion, sodium. It's just a nice little medley of herbs and spices she has.
Seth Holman has a comment. Let's go there. Seth, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I have a comment about something that I love to do on the grill, which is grilling corn. But I always get people looking at me like I have 3 heads, even though it's a common thing at fairs and whatever. So what my question kind of was is there seems to be 2 grilled corn camps. Do you just detassel it and throw it on the grill and let it caramelize, or do you soak it in water and let it steam?
Each his own on that. You know, some people definitely love to put the whole ear of corn and let that steam. A lot of times I like stripping the ear, put a little bit of olive oil on there, grill it up, a little caramelize. I'll even use mayonnaise, sprinkle with mayonnaise, use a whole bunch of different types of cheeses, a Parmesan cheese, chili powder or whatever, grill that direct. There's several different ways to do corn on there.
And you know what? If you leave the leaves on, when you're done grilling, and you guys have probably seen this being done, instead of just pulling these leaves off one at a time, you cut the bottom off of the corn, and then you just... You've got to use I use something to keep my hand from getting burned up, but you just squeeze that and it comes, the corn comes right out, and you've all the leaves and all that and the hair is gone, and you've got a nice ear.
It comes out wonderful. And I just want to say, if anybody goes online and gets our cookbook or sees us, we have one in there called Call Me a Cab. Sweet corn is Cabernet wine, but it's a great recipe using a sheet of aluminum foil, paper toweling. You strip down the ears of corn, you put a little puddle of red wine on the paper toweling, which is on top of that sheet of aluminum foil, and you drizzle olive oil over the top of the corn. You add a little bit of zest of lemon or lime. You squeeze lemon or lime over the top. You add some garlic diced up, and you roll it in the paper toweling, and then you roll it in the aluminum foil. And you put that on the grill for about 12 minutes, turning about 4 times, and that's a phenomenally infused ear of corn, too.
Oh, that sounds great. Seth, thank you for calling in. Mad Dog and Merrill, thank you, guys. It's always great fun to have you with me, and I hope we can still do this again sometime down the road.
You got her.
Absolutely. Thank you, Larry.
I appreciate it very much. Mad Dog and Merrill. Host of the television show Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin'. You can see it in most of the markets, Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, Eau Claire, Chicago market. It really is a fun show. They have a really good time with it, and they do some fine cooking, and always a great time. We have a Facebook link to their website as well, Mad Dog and Merrill. So if you want to take a look at their website, you can go to our Facebook page, The Larry Mealer Show, and that's the title of our Facebook page, and get it right there. Well, tell you what, we're staying kind of in the out of doors here because we're going to celebrate the state of Wisconsin. There's some food connected with that, too, with Mike Beno, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. That's coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.